So how do we keep our heads screwed on right? How do we walk in faith? How do we keep victory in our own minds when society is crumbling around us?
It's time for The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Michael Brown is the director of the Coalition of Conscience and president of Fire School of Ministry. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
All right, I got to be honest with you. I am really excited about the broadcast today for a few reasons. Number one, I'm excited about the subject matter that we are going to cover, the things that we're going to talk about and get into. I'm really excited about that. And I'm on the road, and for the first time, I am using a very special portable radio studio. Well, that's how I'm describing it. I traveled with it, these neat little gadgets, devices that allow me to plug in different locations with perfect radio quality with these little components. It is really cool. So this is the first day I'm doing it. I like gadgets. I've always liked gadgets. And now I have the right to have these cool gadgets and a beautiful new mic. And we might even sound better than ever. So coming from an undisclosed location somewhere in the great state of Pennsylvania, Michael Brown, thank you for joining me. You're going to be encouraged today. You're going to be helped today. You're going to be built up today. And I want to ask you a question. Here's the number to call, 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. Tell me how you feel when we share some of the things happening in society, like on a Wednesday when we focus on moral and cultural issues. We focus on the world. Wednesday, we focus on the world, moral and cultural issues. Tell me how you feel when I give you some of the bad news, excuse me, happening in society. I talk about some of the issues, say, with homosexual activism or some stuff happening with kids in our schools and just bad news and say, hey, look, I need to sound the alarm and tell you what's happening. Jesus is Lord, but I need to share these things. Or when you look out, you read the newspaper, catch the news online, watch the news on TV, listen to it on radio, and it's just bad news and it's chaos. And it seems like the world is getting out of control. And it seems like things continue to degenerate and fall apart in America. And look, we have potentially a horrifically divisive season that's going to be coming our way, dividing America over so many issues with the upcoming presidential election. I mean, on all sides, I'm picking sides. I'm saying on all sides, it's going to be divisive and tearing. And you have bad news about this country or that country or crisis in the Middle East. How does it make you feel? Do you get agitated? Do you get depressed? Do you get angry? Does it stir you to action? How do you respond? How does it hit you as a follower of Jesus? Do these things hit you in such a way that you want to throw in the towel? Enough is enough. This is just crazy. This is insanity. Or does it hit you like, praise God, this is a sign that it's all over. We're going to be out of here any minute. Do you get depressed and it just seems hopeless? Or do you have a fresh resolve to stand and do what's right? Or what do you do to keep your spiritual sanity? I want to give you a number of points today to help you, to encourage you, things that I'll be preaching to myself as well. I won't be preaching, but, you know, preaching to the choir, using that expression, saying these things to myself as well, so that we will not go through this world downcast, hopeless, depressed, or angry. I'm not angry at people. I just wrote an article. You can read it on townhall.com. Dan Savage. Savage is the Bible, Christianity, and the Pope. I'm not mad at Dan Savage, gay activist Dan Savage. I'm not mad at him. My heart goes out to him. I want to see him know the love and goodness of God and be transformed and experience forgiveness of sins and find out there is a real God. I want that for him. I'm not mad at individuals. I'm not mad at people. But we are in a spiritual battle. So how do you respond? News, all the bad stuff, all the junk, even things we talk about on the radio program here to alert you. How does that hit you? How does it make you feel? And what do you do? You don't have to answer both questions. You may not have an answer to the second one. What do you do, though, to maintain your spiritual sanity in the midst of the chaos of the society? We'll be back.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Welcome back, friends, to The Line of Fire broadcast as I come your way live from Pennsylvania, doing some teaching at a ministry school here a little bit outside of Harrisburg, Pennsylvania, teaching all morning, doing radio in the afternoon today, tomorrow, and Friday. And so glad to be with you as we talk about things that we need to do to settle our hearts before God as things get worse and worse around us. Are they going to get worse and worse until Jesus comes? Are they going to get worse and worse and then there's going to be a massive generational revival and we'll have the best days America's ever had? Is it going to be better in one country than another? These are all fair questions to ask, but we know there's a lot of chaos around us. I often say that here at The Line of Fire, we are your voice of moral sanity and spiritual clarity in the midst of a society in chaos and a church all too often in compromise. How do we live with victory? How do we live with hope? How do we live with joy? How do we live with faith? How do we become part of this solution more than just being part of the problem or recognizing the problem? 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884 online. Facebook, you can weigh in there. Ask Dr. Brown. Ask Dr. Brown on Facebook. I've got a number of points I want to share with you, but I want to take a call right at the beginning. I did so much opening up of the scripture and teaching from the word yesterday. I took very few calls. Let me grab a call right at the outset today. Brian in Mitchellville, Maryland, thanks for joining The Line of Fire today.
Yeah, Dr. Brown?
Yes.
Yes. I wanted to ask you, I'm going to talk about your subject today, and I was saying in regards to the hearts of the Christians, is that it looks like God is basically showing us that there are issues going on today, that he's soon to come. But my thing is that are the Christians really evaluating the Word of God and really applying it to our lives? Because if the president is basically saying that he's a Christian and the new president that's running against him is a Mormon, and basically they believe that Jesus is the half-brother of Lucifer, so how is it that Christians then can say we'll put somebody in over us and be over us in regards to another president that doesn't know God and doesn't have his heart in the hands of God where Christians can pray for?
Yeah, well, Brian, to tell you the truth, I'm looking to the Lord to turn the hearts of any president that we have. And I'm not Mr. Obama's professes to be a Christian. I don't see the reality of new birth and new life there. I have no hope, of course, that Mitt Romney is a Christian. I don't know about the relationship with God of other candidates. Some seem to be genuine. But to tell you the truth, whoever's in office, I would just be looking to the Lord to supervise and superintend. In other words, if he could guide the heart of a king, even a pagan king, then he could guide the heart of others. And we continue to pray for Mr. Obama that God would get hold of him. But bottom line is, Brian, you do raise an important point. We need to put our trust in Jesus and not the White House. No matter who's in there, if we had the ideal person, that the whole nation of believers, we said this is the perfect person who's ever been president to lead our nation, I'd still have to put my hope in God much more than the White House. Thank you, Brian, for weighing in. 866-34-TRUTH. Okay, ready to take some notes. If you're driving, be careful. You can always get the show later on our website. But we get agitated. We get upset. I've been teaching this morning. I was asked to spend a day talking about what's happening in the society, moral, cultural issues, and students were grieved. They're upset. They were hurting over these things. What do we do to keep our attitude right? First thing, look to the Lord. Oh, I know this is ridiculously basic. I don't need Dr. Michael Brown to tell me I need to look to... I'm not trying to say this as some brilliant orator here with this amazing theological insight, but the fact is sometimes we forget. You know what I'm saying? Come on, be honest with me. Sometimes we forget because you get all worked out. I can't believe this is happening. Or the economy's collapsing. Or what's happening in the stock market? Oh, there's going to be war in the Middle East. Oh, there's chaos here. I don't like the president. I don't like the Republicans. I don't like the Democrats. And we get upset. And in the natural, rightly so. In the natural, I can understand why we're getting upset. But Sometimes we forget to look to the Lord. First thing we need to do is remember that He is God and He is in control. Oh, He lets certain things happen that are contrary to His will and desire. He lets people make choices that are destructive choices. That's true. He does not force things upon us, but He is ultimately at work in the earth, accomplishing His purposes. Can I assure you that if you're in the presence of God, you would not find worry there? Worry does not exist in the presence of God. Depression does not exist in the presence of God. Hopelessness and fear do not exist in the presence of God. What I mean is, if you are in God and taking in His presence, He's not going to be worried. I don't know what to do. Lord, would you help in this situation? And the Lord says, I don't know what to do. I'm scared. Things are out of control. No, no. You would find the same God with the same authority and the same confidence and the same joy and the same power and the same authority that you would always find regardless of what's going on. He remains steady. He feels pain over the broken state of the earth. There are things that grieve Him. And at the same time, He is Lord and people worship at His throne. He is not sitting on the throne hoping, trying, wishing. God is not saying, I wish things would change. No, no. God is God and He is accomplishing His will in the midst of the earth. Let me repeat, there are things that grieve Him. There are things contrary to His expressed desire. And nonetheless, He is at work. So first thing, when the news is bad, when things are upsetting, start with worshiping God. It's just a great thing to do, to just step back and worship Him. You get hit with bad news. You get hit with bad family news. Something just goes wrong. To the extent you can muster it up within yourself, turn away from that situation for that moment and begin to worship. You're on your way to the emergency room to see a family member that just got in a car wreck. Bad news. Lord, I worship You. You're God. You're King. You're in control. You rule. You reign. You're my Heavenly Father. Every good gift comes from You. Look up. Look up. Worship of the King is always a good place to start. And remember this. The world has always been messed up. The world has always been messed up. And Jesus is still Lord. What was the world like? What was the world like in Jesus' day? What was the world like in Paul's day? What was the world like 100 years after the time of Jesus? The world has always been messed up. There has always been rampant sin. There has always been rampant rebellion. There has always been rampant sexual sin, rampant injustice, rampant idolatry. The human race has been sinning. Rampant violence. The human race has been sinning since the beginning. It's always been, it's not been like this. At times it's been worse. We have technology now that multiplies things and gets things out. But there have been different seasons, different countries, different places that have been worse than today. Think of the horror of what was going on in the Second World War and the massive bloodshed around the world. The world has always been messed up since the fall. Come on, the first human being born to Adam and Eve kills the second human being. Cain kills Abel. How bad is that? Fratricide. The world has always been messed up, but Jesus is Lord. Meaning, we shouldn't. Oh no! If my candidate doesn't get in. Oh no! If this law gets passed. Okay, things are grievous. Things are grievous. Things are burdensome. Things are wrong, and we have heavy hearts, and we go to the Lord. But Jesus is still Lord. That's not threatened. We need to take that into our hearts and minds, and just say, Jesus, Your Lord. Jesus, Your Lord. Walk down the streets of our city. Jesus, Your Lord. Get alone in our homes. Jesus, Your Lord. Drive in our cars. Jesus, Your Lord. Lord Jesus, I worship You. I honor You. Heavenly Father, I look to You. I worship You. I honor You. It gets our heads above the clouds of what is happening around us. So first thing, look to the Lord. I just want to give 4 simple points. But if you can live like this, if you can take this in, pastors, leaders, co-workers, we get so bombarded and we get so weighed down and so hit from so many, many different angles. But if we can have this perspective, we start with worship, we start with adoration, We start with honor of Jesus the Lord. I'm telling you, friends, it'll bring a change to our mentality. It'll bring a change to our attitude. It'll strengthen our prayer lives. It'll renew our faith. It'll help us, rather than getting sucked in by the tide of destruction in this world, it'll help us to be raised above it in faith and in confidence. 866-34-TRUTH. Much more to come today, right here on The Line of Fire, your voice of moral, cultural, spiritual revolution.
The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thanks, friends, for joining us today on The Line of Fire. 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. How do you respond to the bad news? How do you respond to things we share in this radio program, especially on Wednesdays when we talk about moral, cultural issues? What do you do if you live in the state of New York and marriage has been redefined? You live in Massachusetts and marriage has been redefined. What do you do where religious liberties are being threatened, where freedom of speech is being threatened, where freedom of conscience is being threatened? What do you do when you realize that with all of our pro-life work, we're still aborting a million babies a year? What do you do when most of the news you get is bad news and gang violence and this and that happening? What do? You can pull your hair out, can't you? 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. What do you do in your own heart and life to get a positive attitude without going into denial? Here's the other solution. Just make believe it doesn't happen. Make believe there's nothing going on in the world. And I think it's healthy to be so absorbed in the Word and the Spirit and worshiping the Lord and following Him that we're not focused on things in this world. I have a certain burning and calling to be a watchman, to sound an alarm, to bring a wake-up call. But in reality, the fact of the matter is that it's very healthy to be so absorbed in the Lord that we're just not looking at these other things. But we still need to know what's happening on some level. We live in this world. We are called to be salt and light. We are called to work against moral decay. We are called to stand for righteousness. We are called to be God's prophetic voice to society. We're called to set the captives free. We're called to minister to hurting people. So we have to get involved on some level in what's happening in our society. What do we do? How do we respond? So first thing, before we're going to take action, we're going to take our stand. First thing, look to the Lord. Remember that He's God. He's in control. Worshiping the King is always a good place to start. And remember, the world has always been messed up, and Jesus is still Lord. Okay, here's a second thing to do.
We're upset with what's happening in the society. We're upset with the gay activism. We're upset with radical feminism. We're upset with whatever the thing is that we're upset with. Okay, and I'm not mocking it. You know I carry some of these burdens, all right?
Next thing we need to do after looking to the Lord is examine our own hearts. Oh, examine our own hearts so we don't fall into the trap of being self-righteous hypocrites. The measure of our own commitment will be the measure of our power. That's what William Booth said. The measure of his commitment to the Lord would be the measure of his own power. How much do I really belong to the Lord? I was praying about this a few nights ago, just home, and went upstairs alone to pray for a little while. It was actually late at night. I think Nancy had turned in. I was just in another room praying, and I was thinking about my own life and saying, okay, God, who am I really in your sight? Well, what's the condition of my heart, really? I know I'm your child. I know I belong to you. I know my sins are forgiven. But who am I really? What kind of person am I? How much real love is there in me? How much real purity is there in me? How much real compassion? How much truth? Who am I really? Lord, show me my own life that I can grow, that I can become more and more like Jesus. It's one thing not to commit certain outward sins and feel good about ourselves, but we can We can have wrong attitudes of the heart left and right. So before we're going to address others, confront others, take stands, we need to examine our own hearts so we don't fall into the trap of being self-righteous hypocrites. Now, I took issue with statements Dan Savage has recently made, speaking to high school students and to college students, where he attacks the Bible, Christian moral values, and the Pope. And he says he's not attacking Christianity, he's attacking hypocrisy. My article you can read on townhall.com. If you haven't done so, do as soon as you get a break. Dan Savage, Savage is the Bible, Christianity, and the Pope, part one is up today. And someone weighed in on Town Hall. Most of the comments were positive that I glanced at just a moment ago during the break. But someone named Robert, 1824, wrote in, "There goes that bigoted idiot Michael Brown again comparing homosexuality to incest, etc." Actually, what I said was in Leviticus 18, which gives universal prohibitions. These are wrong for everybody, for pagans, for Israel, for everybody. It lists incest and homosexuality. So I'm simply relating what the Bible says. "When will self-righteous busybodies like Brown learn to mind their own business? Who appointed Brown official U.S. busybody with the right to pry into other people's bedrooms? Dan Savage is absolutely right. He is not attacking Christianity or the Bible, but attacking the ignorance, narrow-mindedness, intolerance, self-righteousness, and bigotry of many people who claim to be Christians." Well, of course, a bunch of people have weighed in and corrected him on what he's writing there. In point of fact, Dan Savage made the public statements. Dan Savage was making the public proclamations and attacking the beliefs of even some of the people there and attacking the Bible in no uncertain terms. And I was simply correcting the errors in his speech. I'm not trying to pry into people's bedrooms. I'm not trying to tell people what they can and can't do in private. As long as they're not breaking the law, that's between them and God. But I am addressing issues, and I'm addressing them from the posture of examining my own heart first, because it's easy to point a finger at others. We have to first point a finger at ourselves, and that's how I try to live. That's the posture I try to take. 866-34-TRUTH. Kelly in Peabody, Massachusetts, thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Hi, I just wanted to thank you so much for your stand and just speaking the truth. And I was listening, and everything I wanted to say, you have said. I believe that when we look inward at our heart, because we can't point a finger at somebody else, and we all have stuff going on. But as believers, I really believe that we need to take the word, and you know what? Really look at God, and you know, you either believe that he's true. He said, "I am the Lord God of all flesh. Is there anything too hard for me?" And you know what? There isn't, no matter what's going on.
Absolutely.
And his word tells us that we're to be like soldiers. Well, you know, we need to get back to boot camp
mm-hmm.
in the word of God.
Yes, we
and
do.
And we need to stand and speak his word. I have everything in my life. I'm sure like everybody else, a lot of the listeners. And you know what? I have to take the word. I want to get back in where I used to be years ago.
Yeah, and Kelly, tell you what, stay right there. I want to talk to you a little bit further about this, but I've got a break coming up, so stay right there. Friends, I want to encourage you to get educated in the spiritual realm, to understand how the devil works, how he infiltrates, to understand principles of deception, to see what happens in the spiritual realm and how we can be strong. I've got 12 hours of teaching on one CD. Now, this is to play on your computer or your MP3 player. All right, it's 12 hours on one CD for your computer or MP3 player. It's just $10 for the entire series. So we're basically giving this away, and we're paying the postage. It's my series on angels, demons, and deliverance. You can get it $10 postage paid. Any additional donations help us immensely. But everybody get it. It will help you open things up from a scriptural perspective. Here's the number to call, 1-800-278-9978. That's 1-800-278-9978. It's the series on angels, demons, and deliverance. It's to play on your computer or your MP3 player. 12 hours of teaching on one CD. 1-800-278-9978. Or you can order online by going to Ask Dr. Brown and click on the Line of Fire. You can also become a monthly torchbearer by going to our website. Just go to Ask Dr. Brown and see how you can stand with us in support. And I do want to remind you, friends, the Lord is a warrior, and he stands, and he fights, and he is always victorious.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown.
your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Get into the line of fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thanks, friends, for joining us on the line of fire. I'm just looking at someone commenting on the article that I wrote, Dan Savage, Savage's The Bible, Christianity, and the Pope. I mentioned that in the book of Leviticus, the only sin specifically mentioned as abomination, toevah in Hebrew, is homosexual practice in Leviticus. So this one fellow is interacting on a friend's Facebook page, telling me I'm lying. He said, no, this is called an abomination in Deuteronomy, this and this. I said, in Leviticus, only homosexual practice is single out as abomination. I only say that because it's constantly misquoted. People say, what about all the other abominations in Leviticus? And it so happens that there's only one that's mentioned specifically called toevah, abomination, in Leviticus. It's Leviticus 18:20, referring to homosexual practice. I just happen to make that factual statement, okay? He keeps writing in, quoting Deuteronomy. I said, correct. I said Leviticus. And he writes back, you're lying. Oh, Jesus, you just have to smile sometimes. 866-34-TRUTH. So how do we get our minds full of the word, full of a victorious mentality? Because it's bad stuff happening all the time. And Islam is growing in lots of the world. Islam is growing in America. What are we going to do? And there are some communities in America now where they're pushing, Islamic communities, they're pushing Sharia law here in their communities in America. And bad news here and bad news there. And it seems whoever is president, if it's Mr. Obama for a second term, if it's Mr. Romney, it seems we're just going to be terribly divided from day one, even more so. You get agitated. My hair is gray, but I tell you, if it wasn't, you could easily get gray from worry unless you have the right attitude before the Lord. And right before the break, I was talking to Kelly in Peabody, Massachusetts. Kelly, I just want to talk to you another minute. Talk to me about being a person of the word and getting the word in your heart and mind and having that kind of victorious mentality. You started to talk about it right before the break, and I had to cut you off. So back to you, Kelly.
My name's Terry.
All right, hang on. All right, let's just do this on national radio. Dwight, you typed the name wrong. On national radio. No, in fact, this is probably intergalactic. Dwight, probably they're aliens looking in on this from other planets who saw you got this wrong. But can we forgive him? Carrie, can we forgive him for getting your name wrong? All right, because Dwight's a young man. Hey, Dwight, how old are you, buddy? Dwight's a young man. I don't want him to give up a great career as a call screener and all the other good things he does for the radio studio. Okay, so all right, back to you, Carrie.
All right. I believe that, you know, we need to get an understanding of the authority that we really walk in. That if we're going to walk this world, you know, when you're saying everything, there's all kinds of stuff going on that we can touch on. But you know what the whole thing says is, like God says, I am the Lord, the God of all flesh. Is anything too hard for me? Well, we need to take the word. And if we don't like what's going on, you know what? We have to get into the word of God. We have to speak that word daily. And you know what? If we don't like something, and there's a lot of stuff I don't like too. I mean, but I have to go before God with it so that I don't get a hard heart and run along with everybody else with it. You know what I mean? But we definitely do have to stand in our God-given authority and speak the word. Understand what the word means. And that when God says you speak it and it comes forth, and you know what? It does. Trust him. Trust him.
Yeah, and you know, Carrie, there is an overemphasis in some circles on confession, you know, that it's almost denial. That right. you flunk a test and say I believe I got an A, you know, there's okay, or well. Someone we're burying someone and we're still confessing that they're healed, you know, there can be a wrong confession that gets into denial or that tries to manufacture things that aren't there, but there's a right confession that you no matter right. what you're looking at, no matter how dire, no matter how bleak, no matter how hopeless, no matter how miserable, no matter how helpless you feel, you confess the truth of the word because God is a rock. And that doesn't change. Situations around us don't change the fact that God is a rock. Thanks, Kelly. Back with much more.
It's the light. Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
So what must we do before confronting the culture, before speaking truth to a sinning world? And the world has always been sinning and it will always be sinning until Jesus returns, although there will be a multitude that no one can number of the redeemed, of those who have been saved and forgiven and changed. So first thing, we look to the Lord. We worship the King. We confess Jesus as Lord. Second, we examine our own hearts for the sin in our lives. Look, I have no issue whatsoever with a gay activist pointing a finger at me and saying, what about all the divorce in the church? In particular, divorce without any possible scriptural merit. I'm not talking about what happened before we were saved and got saved and forgiven and our lives were changed. I'm talking about no-fault divorce among professing Christians. I've got no issue with them pointing a finger and saying, look at that. In fact, I will say it once again for the 1,000th time or the 100th time or whatever, that no-fault heterosexual divorce in the church has done more to destroy marriage than all gay activists put together. We must examine our own hearts. Let me assure you, before I preach certain messages, I examine my own heart. And if I feel what I'm preaching applies to me, I'll say, I'm speaking to myself. I'm convicting myself with these words. I was reading the second hour yesterday. We're going through James, Jacob in the New Testament. And I got to the end of the first chapter, the true religion before God the Father is this, to visit fatherless and widows in their affliction and to keep oneself unspotted from the world. And I said, let me be honest with you. I've emphasized keeping myself unspotted from the world. And there are times we've had refugees and hurting poor people staying in our home. And many of our grads around the world are ministering to hurting poor people. I said, but this is not a regular part of my life to visit fatherless and widows in their affliction. I said, I'm preaching to myself here. So we examine our own hearts. The measure of our commitment will be the measure of our power. And then number three, pray for compassion. Pray for compassion. We must ask God for a heart of compassion to those we differ with, those we reach out to, those we feel are going in the wrong direction morally, reaching out to them with a gospel of mercy and compassion from hearts full of mercy and compassion. I mentioned I just wrote this article, Dan Savage, Savage's The Bible, Christianity, and the Pope, which you can read on townhall.com. I wrote this article and I have pain in my heart for Dan Savage. I read his quotes. I listen to him. And I think he cares about many issues. He's passionate about many issues. He's wrong on many of these fundamental moral issues. My heart goes out to him. When he trashes things that are sacred to me, I don't get mad at him. I remember Titus chapter 3, verses 3 through 6. Titus 3 through 6. Once we too were foolish and disobedient. We were misled and became slaves to many lusts and pleasures. Our lives were full of envy, and we hated each other. But when God our Savior revealed his kindness and love, he saved us, not because of the righteous things we had done, but because of his mercy. He washed away our sins, giving us new birth and new life through the Holy Spirit. He generously poured out the Spirit upon us through Jesus Christ, our Savior. 866-34-TRUTH. What's the point? Before you go judge someone else or criticize someone else or speak out against someone else, not only examine your heart, but remember how much mercy God had on you. Look, there was some campaign, I don't know if it's still ongoing, some atheist started it, to blaspheme the Holy Spirit. And they started a website, and this went viral on YouTube, different people getting up and saying, I renounce the Holy Spirit, and ugly words I'm not going to repeat. And some said, I was raised in the church, and now I'm saying this, and now I'm saying that. And I watched it, and you think, wow. I watched a few of the clips. And maybe it was about 5 years ago, and I said to myself, are these people blaspheming the Holy Spirit? I thought, I really doubt it. Why? Because I believe that to blaspheme the Holy Spirit, it has to be done with knowledge and with understanding, and that the blasphemy of the Spirit is ultimately willingly and knowingly taking the things of the Spirit and attributing them to Satan. And I personally don't believe that, it's just my belief, that the vast majority of those people doing it had any clue what they were doing or knew who they were speaking against. Look, Paul speaks of his own life in 1 Timothy, the first chapter, and he talks about the fact that, he was a violent man, that he was a blasphemer, that he was he persecuted believers. He was responsible for having believers put to death. Think of having that on your conscience when you get saved. But he said, I received mercy because I acted ignorantly and in unbelief. He was a Jewish teacher. He was a zealous Pharisee. He certainly had knowledge. He certainly had understanding. He certainly knew a whole lot more than most of these kids and others who were putting out these YouTubes and the videos saying they're blaspheming the Spirit. And yet, he said he acted ignorantly and in unbelief, and God had mercy on him. I think of the crazy, stupid things I said and did before I was saved. The ugly words that came out of my mouth, the attitudes I had towards God. And God forgave me. I was acting ignorantly and in unbelief. Can I read this again? Titus 3, 3 through 6. It's New Living Translation. Once, and the context is Paul saying, don't slander others. Don't slander others. Now, to speak the truth about someone in love is not slander. But to speak evil of others or to speak in maligning ways, don't we get into that in our political campaigns? Come on. I don't care which side you're on, what party you identify with, what candidate you identify with. It gets so vicious and ugly and everybody attacking everybody else in the ugliest, worst terms. It's a shame. And then sometimes believers just join in and think, hey, that's the spirit of being godly or righteous. We start maligning other people. Again, to reveal sin, to expose sin is part of our prophetic mission in the body. But one of our callers was mentioning Ezekiel 33:6, didn't get on the air, was mentioning that we're being watchmen on the wall. But let me read this again from Titus 3. Why should we have an attitude of compassion towards others? Why should we be long-suffering to others? Why should we be careful with our speech? Why should we not malign? Once we too were foolish and disobedient. We were misled and became slaves to many lusts and pleasures. Our lives were full of envy and we hated each other. And what did God do? Well, jerks, go to hell. Look at you sinners, foul, filthy, worthless sinners. To hell with you. Is that what he said to us? No. What does it say in Romans 5? Well, we were yet sinners. Christ died for us. Messiah died for us. Well, we were yet sinners. Once we too were foolish and disobedient. We were misled and became slaves to many lusts and pleasures. Our lives were full of envy, evil envy. We hated each other. But, isn't that a wonderful word? When God, our Savior, revealed his kindness and love, he saved us not because of the righteous things we had done, but because of his mercy. He washed away our sins. Yeah, go ahead. A little thank you, Jesus works there. He washed away our sins, giving us new birth and new life through the Holy Spirit. He generously poured out the Spirit upon us through Jesus Christ, our Savior. Friends, that's how we should respond to those who differ with us, who feel threatened by us, whose values and goals clash directly with our values and goals. We must show them the same love that God showed us, laying down our lives for their salvation. See, when we clothe ourselves with these types of attitudes, boy, I'll tell you, it makes a difference. But when we clothe ourselves with these types of attitudes of compassion and mercy, worshiping the Lord, examining our own hearts, and then being confident that Jesus is Lord, that God rules and reigns, it brings peace to our heart, it brings confidence to our souls, and when it's mingled with divine compassion, boy, what a difference it makes. And then last point, our battle is spiritual. We're not fighting people. We're not fighting people. People may fight us, hate us. My battle's not with people. My battle's not with abortion doctors. My battle's not with Islamic radicals. My battle's not with gay activists. My battle is not with whatever the political party is that opposes one of my views. My battle is not with people. Spiritual battle. Now, I'm going to come back to this point, but it does tie in with our resource offer for the week. Very, very important. Excuse me. I wasn't getting choked up. It's such a wonderful offer. This amazing teaching I did. It's so great. I get choked up talking about it. No, it's just all the hours of teaching in the morning that talking on the radio, sometimes I just get a little choked up. But our resource offer for this week ties in directly with these things, and I would encourage you to take advantage of it. We'll tell you in a moment how you can get hold of the series on angels, demons, and deliverance. When we come back, I want to talk about the nature of the spiritual battle that we are fighting so that we'll understand it's not getting mad at people. It's not fighting people. People are not our enemies. It is having a heart of worship, having a heart of adoration, having a heart that is full of faith, and then fighting the battle where it must be fought in the spiritual realm. We don't do violence to people. We don't hurt people. We don't hate people. There's spiritual violence, and that brings change and liberty and freedom to people.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thanks, friends, for joining us today on The Line of Fire, 866-34-TRUTH. AskDrBrown.org is the website. If you haven't visited the website, we have literally hundreds of hours of free material, audio, video, written material that you can take in on a wide range of subjects, Jewish outreach subjects, social issues, spiritual renewal, revival, growing in the Lord, and then all of the archives for several years of radio, free for your listening pleasure at AskDrBrown.org. It's a good place to go if you want to get built up and strengthened and encouraged. So, number one, what do you do in the midst of social crisis? What do you do before you stand for righteousness? Look to the Lord. Worship, worship, step back. Lord, you're wonderful, you're good, you rule, you reign, you're king, you're Lord, your mercy endures forever. There's none like you. Step back and worship. Number two, examine your own heart. Is there sin in your own life? Am I responding to someone's sin with my own anger? Am I being merciless to that person while receiving mercy from God in my own life because of my own sin? Examine your own heart. And then, number three, pray for compassion. Oh, compassion is costly. Compassion makes you humble yourself. Compassion makes you reach out to people and say, I'm so sorry if I hurt you. Compassion causes you to go the extra mile and look past the ugliness of what's on the outside till you see what's on the inside. One of our friends, a woman who's come out of lesbianism with a wonderful testimony, ministered at our congregation some years ago, ministered at Fire Church right outside of Charlotte, North Carolina. And she had some pictures of her, and one of the pictures, I've only known her as a believer. I've only known her as this very godly, dear, sweet woman. I've only known her as a believer. And she's thin, which I'm telling you for a reason, and very ladylike. And she showed a picture of her from before she was saved. And she was heavy, smoking a cigarette. And it is a certain caricature of a certain type of person or a certain type of lesbian that would look a certain way, kind of a masculine look and heavy, almost against her own feminine nature, smoking a cigarette. And we all like, when we saw the picture, and you know what we all thought? We would have thought that person was very hard to the gospel, which she was back then. We would have thought that person was hardened to the truth. We thought that person wouldn't want to give you the time of day if you said, hey, can I talk to you about Jesus? Or that's what you would have thought. But on the inside was someone seeking and hungry and needy. We got to look past things on the externals. Sometimes people will blast me in a certain site, and I take seriously what they're saying. This is how they really feel. But then I wonder, maybe they're hurting on the inside. Maybe the reason they're blasting me is because they're hurting on the inside. Boy, what a call we got from Florida. I think it was Florida. I remember the gentleman's name, Gary, had written a letter critical of me in certain ways, but I asked him to call in, and he said, look, he listens to the broadcast for hope. Oh, compassion. And then lastly, point number four, our battle is spiritual. People are not our enemies. We're warring against the devil, and he hates heterosexuals, and he hates homosexuals, and he hates babies in the womb, and he hates abortion doctors, and he hates Islamic leaders, and he hates Jewish leaders, and he hates Catholic leaders, and he hates atheists, and he hates the human race. Satan is our enemy. We are fighting a spiritual battle. Ephesians 6:12, many of you know that verse. We don't wrestle with flesh and blood. We don't wrestle with flesh and blood, but with principalities and powers, with the rulers of darkness and spiritual places. It is organized. Yeah, it's really organized. That's where our battle is. And how do we overcome Romans 12. Don't, please, Andrew, go easy on me. Romans 12, 17 to 21. I was looking at my notes and focused on the verse. Trust me, I know how many books there are in each book of the New Testament or the Bible. That's not a problem. Romans 12, 17 to 21. If your enemy's hungry, feed him. If he's thirsty, give him something to drink. Don't be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. And what's the pattern that Jesus gave us? Bless those who curse you and pray for those who despitefully use you. People come against you, they attack you, they malign you, whatever it is. People take advantage of you in the workplace. People come against you for whatever reason it is, persecute you for your faith in particular. Don't curse back. Pray for them. Sometimes you need to address issues in a public setting, and someone says this, here, let's set the record straight. But the bottom line is, friends, the bottom line is simply this. We overcome fighting with different weapons. We bless those who curse us. We pray for those who persecute us and despitefully use us. And thereby we become children of our Father in heaven, because he causes the sun to shine on the righteous and the wicked. Let me commend to you an important teaching series. Now, this is to listen to on your computer or your MP3 player. It's 12 hours, 8 different messages, intense biblical teaching with practical illustration on the spiritual world, on angels, on demons, on deliverance. Teaching I got into some years ago, I thought I've really got to study this out and see what Scripture says, and people have found it tremendously helpful, even life-changing. So it's 12 hours, on one CD for your computer or MP3 player, and we're practically giving it away. It's $10 postage paid, so the price reduced, cut to almost nothing, and we're paying the postage. So call today to order 1-800-278-9978. That's 1-800-278-9978. You can also write to us at P.O. Box 5546. That's P.O. Box 5546. Concord, North Carolina, 28027. 28027, the zip code. Again, if you'd like to call, 1-800-278-9978. Pray about becoming a monthly torchbearer. And any additional support you can send is wonderful, because this is listener-sponsored radio. So as you stand with us, we can continue to get this message out here and to many, many more stations across America. And you can also go online, askdrbrown.org. Click on the Line of Fire. Friends, if the Word of God teaches about something, if the Word of God lays things out, if the Word of God gives us the equipment we need, why should we be ignorant? Why should we walk around with lack of clarity, with lack of truth? All right, my bottom line today, whatever situation you're facing, no matter how hellish things are that surround you, Jesus is Lord. Our God continues to rule and reign, and he will bring light out of darkness, order out of chaos, and triumph out of defeat. Focus on him, and things will turn. Baptist pastor in North Carolina has written an editorial for the newspaper explaining why he opposes the marriage amendment. We'll tackle that right here.
It's time for The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Michael Brown is the director of the Coalition of Conscience and president of Fire School of Ministry. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Let me ask my friends in North Carolina a question, and we will listen in all across the nation. The marriage amendment, May 8th, it's less than a week away, 6 days away. How are you voting? How are you voting? Are you voting yes for marriage? Are you saying no, we must stand against this amendment for whatever reason? 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. I do hope everyone listening in North Carolina is planning to vote on May 8th. This is not a political issue. This is a kingdom issue. This is a social issue. This is a family issue. This is a righteousness issue. So give me a call, 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. If for some reason you plan to vote against the amendment, I will not take your head off. I won't yell at you. I won't scream at you. I won't call you a moron or idiot or how dare you, how could you. Simply understand why. I may ask you a question or two. If you say, well, it's self-evident, of course, we're voting for the marriage amendment. Who could vote against it? Just give me a call and let me know. You don't have to be able to articulate why. If you can, great. 866-34-TRUTH. Okay. I was interacting on my friend's website, Stu Epperson Jr., Stu, who heads up Truth Radio Network, that engineers our shows every day and takes your calls and broadcasts us all over North Carolina and joins with our broadcast sending communications around the country. Stu had drawn my attention to a post on his Facebook site, his Facebook page, and there was a lawyer friend of his who had a sign on his lawn that he was voting against Amendment 1. It was to protect the children. Stu took a picture of the sign, put the picture on his Facebook page, and that ignited a discussion there. So I began to interact with the lawyer, and let's just say we were both quite passionate about our convictions and what we were sharing. And he recommended an article. This is a Davidson County's news source, The Dispatch, and online, thedispatch.com, thedispatch.com. And he said, here's an article written by pastor of First Baptist Church of Lexington, North Carolina, Ray Howell III, Pastor Ray Howell III. Beware of amendment, meaning Amendment 1. It's not what you think. He recommended this. I began reading it and said, oh, no, he's got this completely wrong. And then I kept reading and said, oh, this is wrong, this is wrong, this is wrong. Now, I invited Dr. Howell to join me on the radio, and he respectfully declined. We did tell him I'd be taking issue with his article for the Dispatch. So if at any point, Dr. Howell, you're listening, I'm sure you're busy. You may have many other things to do. This may be the last thing on your mind. But, sir, if you are listening and you feel in any way I'm being unfair to you or mischaracterizing you or not giving you the ability to respond, then please call me. It doesn't matter whether we have one person online or 50 people waiting. We will put you first. 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. But Pastor Howell, not wanting to disrespect you as an individual, not wanting to disrespect your work as pastor of First Baptist, but simply taking issue publicly with something you wrote publicly, I must say that I believe you're very wrong on this. I'm going to read the editorial, and I am going to respond to it. Let's begin here. Dr. Howell says on May 8th, thousands of sincere, well-intentioned people will go to the polls and vote yes for Amendment 1, the so-called marriage amendment. Believing they are doing the right thing by ensuring marriage in North Carolina will always be between a man and a woman. Sadly, like many moral issues that cross the line into the political arena, this issue is far from being simple and straightforward. So says Reverend Dr. Howell. We'll take it up right here when we come back.
Fire we want, for fire we please, and the fire. It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
By the way, last night on short notice, the Mecklenburg. Everybody say Mecklenburg. Mecklenburg County Board voted 5-4 to oppose the marriage amendment. It was put on the docket last minute in terms of folks knowing about it, and there were more people speaking against it for it even on short notice. One man who's against what Mecklenburg County was going to do, but Reverend Stephen Shoemaker of Myers Park Baptist Church said he was opposed to Amendment 1 because it builds discrimination into the foundational legal document of our state. Reverend Shoemaker will be joining us in, about 35, 40 minutes. He will be able to come on the air and discuss his views with us. So obviously I see it completely differently than he does, but we want to give him an opportunity to share his views. So let me continue with Dr. Howell. This is pastor of First Baptist Church in Lexington, North Carolina. Again, we invited him on the air. He respectfully declined. He's writing against the marriage amendment. He says, in my opinion, this amendment is unnecessary, unbiblical, unrighteous, and may even be unconstitutional. Voting against this amendment is not saying you are in favor of same-sex marriage, and voting for this amendment will not guarantee traditional marriage. In fact, the adoption of this amendment could backfire and have exactly the opposite result. Okay, well, hang on. So far, in 30 states out of 30 that have voted on this, everyone has voted and said marriage is the union of a man and woman, and in no case has it backfired in any way. In no case has it backfired and produced some backlash that's turned the tide against marriage. Let me go further. At least 10 states, maybe the actual number is 14, I have to check, but at least 10 states have language very, very similar to the North Carolina amendment language, and so, excuse me, some even go further, and yet in none of those states has it created this expected negative backlash. So with all respect to Dr. Howell, absolutely, categorically, no. This amendment is not necessary. North Carolina law already prohibits same-sex marriage, and the law is crystal clear. No court can challenge it. False. False, sir. Certainly attorneys must have told you that. Certainly legal scholars must have told you that. Other politicians must have told you that. Even the lawyer who posted on my friend's Facebook page, on Stu Epperson Jr.'s Facebook page, who was absolutely opposing Amendment 1 and had every traditional argument against it. When I say traditional, I mean the traditional gay activist argument against it, even though I imagine he's a straight married man from what he was saying. He said, yeah, this was wrong in the article. He said, it's a good article, thoughtful article. This one point's wrong. No. This is a very important point. People of North Carolina, any activist judge with a legal power, as happened in Iowa, any activist judge could redefine marriage in North Carolina. And right now, because we do not have a constitutional amendment against it, that is a very real, genuine possibility. When Reverend Dr. Howell says no court can challenge it, false. Don't let anyone tell you that. That is false. That's one of the main reasons for this amendment, friends. However, if this amendment is adopted, it opens the door for federal review as possibly being unconstitutional. The California constitutional amendment banning same-sex marriage was overturned in February by federal court. The same result is very likely to happen here. If we already have a secure wall that prohibits same-sex marriage, why do we want to replace it with a flimsy fence? We don't have a secure wall. That's the problem. We do not have a secure wall. And the case in California was also one that went to the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals, where you could almost guarantee the way that was going to be ruled. So it's also which district is dealing with that. We're not dealing with that here in North Carolina. And the fact is it hasn't been overturned in any other state, and there's also the excellent possibility, and this is what everyone assumed with Prop 8 from the start, that it was going to be challenged. And the California Supreme Court had already ruled a certain way, and one of the judges said that to rule the way they did and overturn the will of the people and to do what they did was legal jujitsu. Legal jujitsu. We've got to be careful with what the courts tried to do. And therefore, the amendment is a sturdy wall, not a flimsy wall. And the California case, everyone's known, is destined for the Supreme Court, where the big ruling will ultimately happen. Reverend Howell continues, the biggest problem I have with this amendment is that marriage is God's business. Well, hang on. If marriage is God's business, then why do we have any laws in the state about marriage? Why do we have any concern? What is that saying that if you marry and a clergyman doesn't marry you, that you're not legitimately married? That if you were married by some county clerk somewhere, that you're not legitimately married? If two atheists get married in a court, that they're not legitimately married? That if people of different faiths or non-faiths get married, that they're not legitimately married because it's God's business only? It's God's business, but we have laws. And the reason that society conveys benefits on marriage is because marriage conveys benefits on society. That's why the government gets involved. Otherwise, why is the government getting involved in our personal relations? Why is the government getting involved with this at all? It's because the government has an interest in healthy families. And marriage, which has always been the union of a man and woman for many, many reasons, most of them obvious, marriage provides the best environment for raising healthy families and therefore having a healthy society. Reverend Howell continues, the only one who truly ordains and blesses marriages is God. Blesses marriage is God, not the state of North Carolina. Well, who's arguing with that? Who's arguing with that? Okay, Reverend Howell, you're saying that we have a secure wall that prohibits same-sex marriage. So you're saying it's a good thing. Don't replace it with a flimsy wall. Well, why care if it's God who blesses? Why even care about what the law says? Sir, with all respect, I find this utterly self-contradictory. And I believe you're influencing people to do the wrong thing. And that's serious for us in leadership and ministry. I know some ministers will faithfully proclaim by the power vested in me by the state of North Carolina, but when I pronounce a couple as husband and wife, I call on a greater power, those whom God hath joined together, let no man put asunder. I will dutifully fill out the marriage license and personally hand deliver it to the register of deeds, lest another government agency become involved. But the state of North Carolina only recognizes marriage it doesn't ordain it. Correct. And we only wanted to recognize marriage that is best for society, that is best for humanity, and is in accordance with the principles that God established at the beginning of human creation. That's what we're talking about. And this is the big debate in England right now, that if they go ahead and redefine marriage in England, they have civil unions now, civil partnerships. But if they go ahead and redefine marriage, there's a question, will churches be required to perform them or participate? Could someone bring a church to court or a minister to court? A gay couple, lesbian couple, and they say, we want you to perform a marriage. We want to get married in your building. Sorry, we can't do that. It's against our conscience. We don't recognize that as marriage. Will they suffer the consequences? It's already happening in different ways, in secular ways here in America, where people of conscience said, hey, this violates our conscience. And it is even happened with some church property. Well, if it gets tax benefits from the government, then it has to be able to have civil unions, ceremonies for anybody who wants, even if it violates the religious beliefs of the groups. These are such weighty matters. We can't afford to get these wrong, friends. Reverend Howell continues, so why have we taken this debate to the political theater? I find it ironic that the majority of those who are promoting this amendment are also those who believe philosophically that government should be less involved in our lives. Why do we want the government to become involved in one of our most sacred institutions? We don't. That's why the marriage amendment, to make sure that the government, the courts, can't change things. That the will of the people, recognizing the importance of marriage, is foundationally recognized and enshrined. This is not asking for more government involvement. This is saying we want to establish what is righteous, what is just, what is best, what is based on truth, what is in the best interest of families and others. And therefore, we do not want the possibility of an activist court changing things. It has happened already in other states, and we don't want it to happen here. Reverend Howell continues, homosexuality is one of the biggest issues facing the church today. Christians have widely different interpretations on this issue, but there is one truth I hope all believers accept as non-negotiable. Every person, regardless of sexual orientation, is a child of God, created in the image of God, and deserves to be treated with love, dignity, and respect. This amendment opens the door for needless discrimination, marginalization, and judgment. Jesus never said one word about homosexuality, but he spoke many words about injustice, unrighteousness, and hypocrisy. All right, I'm looking at my clock here. I'm going to have to respond to this on the other side of the break. Let me say plainly, while I agree with some of what's written there, I absolutely disagree based on biblical principles and based on the words of Jesus with what my esteemed colleague from First Baptist in Lexington, North Carolina is saying. We're talking about it publicly because it's something written publicly for public discussion. And Reverend Dr. Howell respectfully declined to come on the air. I'm sure he's a busy man, but we're going to address these things because they are being talked about and we need to understand.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thanks, friends, for joining us on the Line of Fire today. A little later in the broadcast, I'm going to be joined by a pastor, the senior minister of Myers Park Baptist Church, which in 2007 said that they are now bringing into membership and even ordaining into leadership practicing homosexuals. And Reverend Shoemaker will explain some of his views, why he is opposing the marriage amendment in North Carolina. And this is news for all of the nation, hence we talk about it on a Wednesday. We focus on the world, moral and cultural issues. The vote here just 6 days off. So we invited pastor of First Baptist Church in Lexington, North Carolina, to join us on the air. He respectfully declined, but we're responding to his article that was printed last Friday. TheDispatch.com is Davidson County's news source. That's how it advertises itself. So Reverend Howell says this, that homosexuality is one of the biggest issues facing the church today. Christians have widely different interpretations on this issue. But there's one truth I hope all believers accept as non-negotiable. Every person, regardless of sexual orientation, is a child of God, created in the image of God, and deserves to be treated with love, dignity, and respect. Well, if he means child of God in terms of created by God and loved by God, yes. If he means child of God meaning all saved, obviously not. All right, that's, I would assume as a Baptist pastor, he doesn't mean that a Muslim, a Hindu, a Buddhist, an atheist, that they're all children of God in Jesus, the way we're children of God. I assume he just means children of God in terms of creation. If he means children of God the personal, well, of course I don't accept that part. But yes, every person, regardless of sexual orientation, is created in the image of God, deserves to be treated with love, dignity, and respect. Of course, 100%. Advocate that without question. This amendment opens the door for needless discrimination, marginalization, and judgment. No, it doesn't. By reinforcing what is right, sir, by standing for biblical values and principles, by standing for the importance of male-female relations, By upholding the union of marriage as a sacred thing, it is not judging and marginalizing others. When you preach Jesus as Lord, does that judge and marginalize Jews who don't believe in him and Muslims who don't follow him as we do and Buddhists who don't believe in him and atheists? Are you going to say that every when you talk about sexual purity, when you talk about the importance of sexual purity in the marriage, is that marginalizing those who are adulterers or those who believe in polyamorous relationships and multiple partners? Whenever we speak the truth, whenever we stand up for what's right, people who differ can feel judged and marginalized, but we're telling the same message. Jesus shed the same blood for heterosexual, for homosexual. No matter who you are, we welcome you to hear the gospel. We welcome you to be loved. We welcome you to hear the transforming power of God and to find forgiveness of sins and a new life in him. That's the same message for everyone. But what's being missed is gay activism advancing rapidly on every front throughout America. All over North Carolina, Reverend Howell, we're dealing with situations where four-year-olds in a nursery school, daycare in Charlotte, the teachers cannot call them boys and girls. They have to address them as friends lest they make a gender distinction. I know it because one of our students in our ministry school a few years ago was teaching at one, and she had required reading lists to read books like King and King, about two princes that fall in love, or about Heather Has Two Mommies, these kind of books. She just skipped over them, ultimately stopped working there. We're talking about through influence of media and culture, a pastor in rural North Carolina telling me that a friend of his daughter's, a girl that's a good friend of hers, loves softball. She just quit the softball team because she was the only non-lesbian on the softball team, and she quit. This is in rural North Carolina. We're talking about gay activism being backed by Bank of America and Wells Fargo and Duke Power, Duke Energy, here in based in Charlotte, aggressively, strongly backing gay activism. In other words, by saying that we stand here for marriage, we are preventing things happening in schools if marriage gets redefined. We are preventing the marginalization of Christians, the marginalization of biblical values. And to say, well, if we stand for marriage, it's marginalizing others, then what can we stand for? What can we stand for without marginalizing someone? Can we preach any subject from the Scripture where Scripture speaks of a right and a wrong, or Scripture gives a pattern for life, without marginalizing those who differ? Of course, that's going to happen, that people feel excluded. So that's why the message is God so loved the whole world that he offers salvation through Jesus. What about Jesus never said one word about homosexuality? Well, first, the argument from silence is very specious. And you're going to, okay, Jesus didn't say a word about bestiality. He didn't say a word about pedophilia. He didn't say a word about wife beating. Therefore what? Therefore nothing. You can't conclude anything by the fact he didn't say something about it directly. But in three different ways he addressed the issue. In Matthew 5, beginning in verse 17, he said he did not come to abolish the law of the prophets, but to fulfill. And he took the sexual moral values of Scripture and took them higher. Like, it's not just committing adultery, it's thinking the thought in your heart. So that's the first way where he reinforced the biblical prohibition against homosexual practice. Second thing is in Matthew, the 15th chapter, he spoke of sexual immoralities, plural, Matthew 15, Mark 7, that these come out of the heart and defile us. That referred to all sexual acts outside of marriage, which was only male, female, as the only possible option in the Jewish world there. So he said that defiles the person, all sexual acts outside of marriage. That was another direct reference. And then Matthew, the 19th chapter, where he reestablishes God's order from creation, that a man leaves his father and mother, cleaves to his wife, the two become one flesh. That's what God established. That's the order. And the whole Bible presupposes heterosexuality. Honor your father and mother. Husbands, love your wives. Wives, respect your husbands. It presupposes that throughout, from beginning to end. And Jesus reinforces that in three different ways. Reverend Howell continues, Jesus also spoke about rendering unto Caesar the things that are Caesar's, and to God the things that are God's. Marriage belongs to God, not Caesar. The Apostle Paul wrote about the problems that are created when we bring the government into religious matters. Throughout history, whenever religious beliefs have been codified into law, the results have usually been a disaster. We're not talking about codifying religious beliefs into law. We're saying don't redefine marriage, which is the only thing our society and the world has ever known through its history until very recently when some have tried to redefine it and change it. And again, Reverend Howell, are you saying there should be no laws in North Carolina about what marriage is? There should be no laws whatsoever that govern conduct of husbands and wives or in any way that... And don't we get many of the moral laws that shape the fabric of our society from scriptural principles? Reverend House says we don't need Amendment 1. Its adoption will open a Pandora's box of problems that will result in unintended consequences hurting many, many people. Unmarried couples who have children will be negatively impacted as well. Myth, false, not true. Let the church debate the issue of marriage, not the state. This amendment is a bad idea. It is political grandstanding that plays on the fears of the public. Well, Reverend Howell, you're getting involved politically just the same by saying to vote against it. You're getting involved just the same here. The fact is there's a lot of misinformation, scare tactics going along. There's not a single legitimate reason not to vote for this as a Christian. Because I believe Jesus calls us to love one another as he loved us unconditionally without prejudice or judgment, I'm voting against Amendment 1. I'm humbly asking you to prayerfully consider joining me. Sir, Reverend Dr. Howell, I humbly ask you to prayerfully consider changing your mind and renouncing your erroneous position. And I urge you in the love of God.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown.
your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Get into the line of fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thanks, friends, for joining us today on the Line of Fire. A lot of interesting things were happening in Charlotte, North Carolina last night. I wish I could have been there, but I was on my way flying to Pennsylvania, and I am coming away live from Pennsylvania today. My joy to be with you. 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. We've got 6 days to the marriage amendment vote. And these are issues of national interest, national concern. So I talk about them, especially on a Wednesday, when we focus on moral, cultural issues. First hour, though, I'd encourage you to get online, go to AskDrBrown.org, click on the Line of Fire, and get online when you have the opportunity, and listen there to the first hour where I talk about how to keep a victorious attitude, a positive attitude, in the midst of cultural decay, in the midst of social conflict, in the midst of things that we passionately differ with. That first and foremost, we have to be looking to the Lord to worship him, honor him, acknowledge him. And then secondly, we need to search our own hearts for hypocrisy, sin in our own lives. Third, we need to pray for a heart of compassion. And fourth, we need to remember that our battle is spiritual, that we're not fighting people. Our battle is spiritual. Okay, yesterday afternoon, I get an email from a colleague of mine. And he just got off the phone with the county commissioner. He found out kind of last minute, this had not been announced previously to our knowledge, that the Mecklenburg board was going to vote and put forth a vote to say we oppose the marriage amendment and that there would be discussion hearing about it last night. Well, this is short notice. Otherwise, could have had several hundred people there and dozens to speak against this vote and to say, please do not oppose the marriage amendment. 22 counties so far have said, yes, we support the marriage amendment, but Mecklenburg County is obviously an important county, which means your vote, friends, your vote, May 8th, all of you who live in North Carolina, is very, very important and will send a positive message to the nation that we continue to uphold marriage and stand for righteousness. But here's what happened. After hours of debate Tuesday night, the Mecklenburg. Where did I get Mecklenburg? Mecklenburg from Mex? I don't know. After hours of debate Tuesday night, the Mecklenburg County Board of Commissioners voted 5-4 to adopt a resolution opposing a proposed statewide marriage amendment. So the vote was 5-4. 19 people, including residents, religious, and business leaders, signed to speak up about the county's resolution, though some spoke in support of it. Many more spoke in favor of Amendment 1 and against the county's resolution. This is just on really, really short notice, friends. On really short notice, there were still more people speaking against it, and we didn't even have all the people that could have given further articulation and explain why it was absolutely imperative that the county not send a wrong message on this. So several people quoted scripture. Charlotte resident Carla Lohman, who's been married for 28 years, said she stood against the resolution and for traditional marriage. Quote, I'm encouraging those that I pray with to stand for biblical values. God wants us to honor marriage. Please don't put this before our city. Another speaker in favor of traditional marriage, Warren Smith, said those who support Amendment 1 don't do so because they relish this fight. We feel we're backed into a corner, he said, and formed to take this fight. You could let this bully pulpit turn you into a bully. Table this motion. Let the people speak on May 8th. There's no reason to pick this up and be unnecessarily divisive. The Reverend Stephen Shoemaker of Myers Park Baptist Church, who should be joining us in 10 minutes or less, said he was opposed to Amendment 1 because, quote, it builds discrimination into the foundational legal document of our state. Quote, you could frame this debate as between one moral good, the support of traditional marriage and family, and another moral good, the extending of dignity, rights, and equal protection under the law to all people. I'll continue with Reverend Shoemaker's quote, but when we come back, Henry in Philadelphia, you're on next, and then we will speak directly to Reverend Shoemaker. I want to understand why a Baptist pastor is against Amendment 1.
Yeah.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into the Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Let me just finish reading to you why Reverend Stephen Shoemaker of Myers Park Baptist Church, a large influential church here in Charlotte, boasts a membership of probably close to 2,000. 2007, they came out saying that they were now welcoming into membership and ordaining into leadership practicing homosexuals. Obviously, that had to have a certain Christian confession. And Reverend Shoemaker will be joining us in a few minutes on the air. He said you could frame this debate, this is speaking last night, as to why he opposed Amendment 1. You could frame this debate as between one moral good, the support of traditional marriage and family, and another moral good, the extending of dignity, rights, and equal protection under the law to all people. He said the tension in the American soul is still with us between those who would like to establish the United States as a Christian nation, operating under the rules of a dominant religious majority, and those who want our nation to be a nation of the people, by the people, and for the people. So I want to probe Reverend Shoemaker on those issues, respectfully, of course, in the midst of our differences. Wrote an article, I think you'll find it very important. It's the first of two. It's on townhall.com. Dan Savage, Savage's The Bible, Christianity, and the Pope, perhaps the best-known gay activist in America today, has engaged in some tirades on campuses, speaking to several thousand high school kids at a journalism conference, then to hundreds of others at a college. I'm sure he's done this many, many times, savaging the Bible, Christianity, and the Pope. And we lay things out. We get into what Scripture really says, what Mr. Savage really says. We need to be praying for Dan Savage. 866-34-TRUTH. You can read that on townhall.com. Henry in Philadelphia. Thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Yeah, how you doing?
I'm doing very well, man. How about you?
Look like you got a real battle on your hands.
Well, the battle is the Lord's, but we have our roles to play, and sometimes it does get very intense, sir. Prayer is always appreciated.
Well, you know, I just want to make a comment that I really think that the Christian church, and we all have to come to grips with the fact that, I hate to use this term, but everybody ain't going, and I'm talking about going to heaven. And I'm not saying we just turn our back on people, but this homosexual agenda or the killing of babies and all that, it really comes down to what the Lord said when he said, why do you say you love me and you don't do what I ask you to do? And we have to start looking at some of these people, whether they're family members or whatever, and say, look, this is what Jesus said, do. Now, either you're going to do it or you're not. Okay? So, I would like to say that, I've been in law enforcement a long time. I'm retired now. And I think no one should be beat up, bullied, or whatever.
Yeah, absolutely.
But to have the homosexual agenda to be such where they want to twist civil rights around and say, well, you violate my rights if you call me this name or that name, or if you look at me wrong. I think we should just accept this as a falling away when people say, well, I can accept that. And I have people in my acquaintance that are homosexual, and when confronted with this question, I say to them, you hate to say this, you're going to burn in hell. And it's no different than if I'm cheating on my wife or something like that, and then I'm playing the role that I'm supposed to be all right, but I'm really cheating on my wife, well, then I'm going to burn in hell.
Or so, if we're a nice religious person, but we've never been born again.
Yeah. Well, I really think this thing about fighting it such, I think we just have to come out and be separate from them. I go to their house or something and I talk to them if they're sick or something like that, or if we're there and with other friends and they're homosexual. And I just maintain who I am. I am a Christian. It's not happening. If I'm out with a boy, I'm not staying late or talk to the go-go girl or hang out. I'm not doing that. I'm going home at a certain time to be with my wife.
Right. So on a simple level, we have the world and we have the people of God. And it's because of mercy that we've received. And we are called to be separate from the sin of the world, which for the most part is just the general pollution, the junk, the uncleanness of the world that surrounds us all the time. And because of that, we are there to be salt and light. And whoever the person is, if it's an atheist neighbor, a Muslim neighbor, a gay couple, a Jehovah's Witness couple, or it doesn't matter. If people do not know the Lord, we're there to serve them, to minister the gospel to them, and to recognize there are people lost. There are people lost. There are people who are going to differ. And ultimately, at the end, Revelation 22, it says, let the righteous be righteous, let the wicked be wicked. Hey, let me run to another call. But, Henry, thank you for weighing in. And may the Lord use you as a light, sir, in dark places. Let's go to Brian in Sterling, Colorado. Thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Yeah, hi. Speaking of light and dark places, I guess I represent the darkness and light places. How's that?
Uh-huh. Great. Thanks for calling, man.
Sure. I think the fact that people believe that an invisible being writes books is no reason for everyone else to have to be legislated by that book. Is that direct enough?
Sure. Well, of course, you're entitled to your non-belief. I've got no problem with that. So the Bible says don't murder, so we should have no laws against murder.
Don't tell me you're reaching for the intellectual crutch, the slippery slope argument.
No, Brian, who mentioned slippery? Who mentioned slippery anything or intellectual crutch or anything? I just asked you a simple question. I would assume, calling in the name of darkness, that you can reason with me. So the Bible speaks against murder. Should we have no laws against murder?
Yeah, quite honestly, and I think you're a very likable guy. I want to throw that in there.
Oh, thanks, man.
Yeah, I think when you reach for that type of a question, when you say, "Well, let me ask you a question," then you reach for murder.
Tell you what, Brian.
I think that's a failure to reason. I think you're trying not to
reason. All right. Well, tell you what. Let's do this, Brian. I need to get Pastor Shoemaker on the phone. He's busy and was able to grab a few minutes for us. But would you kindly call me back? I would love to continue this discussion. All right? Any day where I'm touching on anything remotely that relates to your position, would you – I'm serious. Would you call in when I see Brian from Sterling, Colorado? Tell our call screener you're the guy. And I will get you meet. I really apologize for having to cut you off, though. All right. So forgive me for doing that. I would love to talk more. Of course, I differ with you, but I'd love to talk more. All right. Reverend Shoemaker, thanks so much for joining us on the air on short notice today. I appreciate it.
Well, I'm pleased to be here. Thank you.
Now, we find ourselves on very opposite views on a number of subjects coming down to the gay and lesbian community.
Sure.
But both of us would say we're doing what we're doing out of love for the Lord, love
That's
for
right.
Jesus, and love for people. So I read your statement as it's printed in The Observer from last night, and actually having no idea I'd be speaking with you today or that we'd be able to do it, I read the statement from your church in 2007 when you said that you'd be welcoming in practicing homosexuals into membership and leadership within your church. Would you be kind enough to give our listeners, who for the most part are in agreement with me, your perspective as a Christian, as a Baptist pastor, as to why you move in a direction be very different than the way I would approach it?
Sure, I'd be glad to. I think that part of the spiritual freedom that God gives us as fallible human beings is the freedom to seek God's Spirit to interpret Scripture. And many times there are differences in the way we come down in our interpretations. I interpret the passages against homosexual behavior in Scripture as promiscuous, exploitative human behavior that does not apply to loving covenantal same-sex relationships.
All right, so you would not find a blanket prohibition against homosexual practice, but a prohibition against promiscuity,
explorative kind of behavior. For example, in the Sodom and Gomorrah story, it's the kind of gang rape that happened.
Mm-hmm. And then, how would you interpret, say, that in the midst of a passage like Leviticus 18 or Romans 1, which I'm sure you've been through 100 times? Would you find that? Say, the promiscuity or explorative part in, say, a Leviticus 18?
Well, I think in both cases, in biblical scriptural times, they had no conception of what we would call sexual orientation, homosexual orientation as a given in a person's life. It was a kind of abnormal, explorative, kind of rape-like choice that that certain people perpetrated on other people.
So you're saying in the ancient world, then, your understanding is that there were no long-term committed homosexual relationships?
You know, I'm not a good enough historian. I'm not a good enough historian to say that. But what I'm saying is that people did not conceive of people being, by their nature, homosexual. Everyone was considered heterosexual, and therefore, sexual contact between same-sex persons would have been considered unnaturally and called an abomination in Hebrew scripture.
Got it. Of course, you know, my position would be scripture recognizes us as sinful human beings and fallen,
right,
needing mercy. I tell you what, I want to get your take on the marriage amendment and express where I differ, but we'll be back. We've got a very short break, but thanks for being with us, sir.
The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
I'm joined, friends, by Reverend Stephen Shoemaker. He is senior minister of Myers Park Baptist Church here in Charlotte. Reverend Shoemaker, I want to be as careful as I can in the midst of our differences, not to put you in a position where you feel like I'm trying to debate you.
Okay.
I want to ask questions, and I want to be faithful to the truth as I understand it, but I don't
sure,
want to be contentious.
We're both trying to do that, yeah.
And if you ever agree to discuss these things in a different setting, fine, but I don't want to put you in an uncomfortable position. I just want to ask one larger question about the issue of homosexuality in general, and then specifically the issue of Amendment 1 and your opposition to it, sir. We as followers of Jesus, I'm a Jewish follower of Jesus, we've staked our lives on the fact that Jesus is Lord, and we're not Muslims or Buddhists or atheists. Can you say that you're 100% sure that your interpretation of Scripture is right with regard to homosexual practice?
No one could be 100% sure. I could never say I feel I'm 100% sure. I'm a fallible person seeking the Spirit of God as I open Scripture. Can we talk about Amendment 1?
Surely.
Yeah,
so,
yeah.
Go ahead.
You know, I'm opposed to it because it builds discrimination into the foundational, you know, legal document of our state. As a Baptist minister, I come from a tradition where we believe that there is separation of church and state and religious liberty, and part of what that means is that God is the governor of our soul. The government is not the governor of our soul. Roger Williams, who began the Baptist movement, was expelled from the Massachusetts Bay Colony because they basically wanted a theocracy in which the religious leadership and the political leadership govern both the political, religious, and moral life of the citizens. And a democracy is set up in America to be a government of the people, by the people, and for the people. And so that, I mean, I think Amendment 1 is a good thing to be coming before the people because I think all the people need to determine which moral values best serve all the citizens of North mm-hmm. Carolina.
To ask you this then, aren't you in doing this acting on what you feel are Christian principles? In other words, aren't you, by your Christian principles, opposing Amendment 1 because you feel it's discriminatory?
Yeah, that is a biblical, spiritual, Christian principle. To be against discrimination, right?
And all right. So
Jesus said to be for it, to care for the least of these, and that's kind of the biblical warrant, I think, that's translated into equal rights and protection, respect for all people.
All right. So then you're not talking about separation of church and state. You're saying that as a Christian, you feel that Amendment 1 should be opposed. I mean, that's what I just found very odd in your statement when you talk about Christian principles. Versus those who want our nation to be a nation of the people, by the people, and for the people, but you're bringing up Christian principles in your argument against Amendment 1 as opposed to just being totally secular in your approach. And it seemed contradictory to me when I read it, if you can understand.
I understand how that can appear contradictory. I think what I would say would be we should always be careful of seeking to build a government structure in which the dominant majority dictates fully over the life of its people, whether it's whether it's in moral life, religious life, political life. And so, I mean, democracy is a messy kind of process, and we all go with our best sense of what the principles are mm-hmm. by which we live. And I think that, you know, in my case, I think in this particular Amendment 1 debate, there are a lot of what I call the least of these, the most vulnerable, that are going to be hurt by this amendment, and Jesus calls me to care for them.
Yeah, and of course, caring for the least and the most vulnerable, to me, that's the kids. And when I see the effect of gay activism nationwide, when I hear the horror stories from the schools, even right from within Charlotte, when I see the bullying of gay activism, the intolerance, the bigotry, even the loss of religious freedoms, freedoms of speech, freedom of conscience here in America and in other countries, then to me it's so critically important that we just say, yes, marriage is the union of a man and a woman. What people want to do in private or whatever religious ceremony they want to have to bless them, fine, but marriage is the union of a man and a woman, and we need to make sure no activist court can overturn that. Therefore, we vote for Amendment 1. That's my view. But Reverend Shoemaker, I do appreciate you coming on. And if there's ever an opportunity where we can sit together face-to-face over lunch in Charlotte, I would consider it an honor in the midst of our differences. But thank you, sir, for joining us.
Well, thank you for asking.
All right.
Okay,
may the Lord lead us all into his truth. All right, friends, I wish I had more time for Reverend Shoemaker. I wanted to give him his opportunity to explain his views as I explain mine. And again, I do think it's interesting that people are saying in the name of Christianity that we should not vote for Amendment 1. And if we do, we're trying to impose our religious beliefs. Hey, hang on. Looks like a lot of folks have their religious beliefs. Reverend Dr. Howell, whose editorial I read and differed with. But I do hope in the midst of very, very serious differences that we can be civil with each other, respectful towards each other. I militantly oppose the positions that were espoused, some of them, except agreeing to care for all. And I would say I'm absolutely certain about what the Bible says about these issues. Otherwise, I wouldn't take the stand that I take. But may God have mercy on us and help us to stand up for what is right. And let's pray for those we differed with, Baptist pastors, Reverend Dr. Howell and Reverend Shoemaker. Let's pray for these men and pray for me that God would, here, a prayer we can all agree on, that God would bring us into the fullness of his truth and help us not to back down from it, from grace and truth, no matter what the cost, no matter what the consequence. Amen. All right. Another reminder, very important resource. Now, just to be clear, this is for your computer or MP3 player. It's 12 hours of teaching, 8 different messages, an hour and a half each, on one CD for your computer MP3 player, and we're practically giving it away, literally, $10 postage paid, Angels, Demons, and Deliverance, the spiritual realm, how demonic powers infiltrate, what Scripture says. I mean, really just looking at Scripture on this, it's amazingly eye-opening how much the Bible has to say about this subject. Amazingly eye-opening what Scripture actually says. So, we delve into this, and then practically, can believers be demonized, demon-possessed? What is deliverance? How do these things work? 12 hours of teaching on 8 messages, one CD for your computer MP3 player. Call or order right now, 1-800-278-9978, 1-800-278-9978. Whatever you can do, if you can help us with an additional gift with the radio broadcast and our worldwide outreach, that would be awesome. But the number again, 1-800-278-9978, or order online, askdrbrown.org, click on the line of fire. Let's not be ignorant of the enemy's devices. Let's not be ignorant of the ways of Satan, who transforms himself into an angel of light. Let's understand principalities and powers, Scripture talks about them, that we can stand for righteousness and be champions of truth and light. My bottom line today, there is a call on the people of North Carolina to stand up and do what is right. There is a call for us to say we will do what is right, regardless of cost or consequence or backlash, because we love people and we love God. Therefore, we will stand strong for righteousness in North Carolina and send a message to the nation. Be back with you tomorrow, friends.